Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 14 of True Healing with Robert Morse, ND. Sit back, relax, as Dr. Morse explains detoxification for true and natural healing. On today's episode from Q&A 237 on YouTube, Dr. Morse will discuss sulfur, epilepsy, abscess, and mono diet. Remember, this is your journey to Wellville, so get ready. It all starts right now.
Good day, my friends. How are you today? I hope you're doing well. I'm sure there are some of you in the freezing cold and others in the nice climate. So, it's like me. I wish I could be down in the tropics, but we all have to work where we are. This is going to be a question and answer video again. Dad, we don't have any more? Okay, we got enough to do one time, though.
Plenty of time, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Right. Probably next week.
Okay.
We're talking about your eyes. And we've got enough here to do one session.
I want you to get to them.
I do. Yeah. We'll do it.
All right.
Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. I just see what tomorrow works out. I got a lot going on.
All right.
Marcy said that I didn't cover the sulfur enough, the organic sulfur. People are using the sulfur compounds and crystals again. Oh, geez. You might want to get a hold of Eck Labs or one of the labs and ask them if they even know what sulfur is antagonistic to. But sulfur is definitely antagonistic to the different chemistries of what? You know, when it's an acid, you can just about figure that it's antagonistic to calcium because that's the first thing that the body draws to fight these. So it's possible that with a built-up sulfur in the gut from a long-term antibiotic use that you could lose connective tissue function in the wall of the bowel. Hard to say. I mean, one thing we know about sulfur, it's an irritant, it's inflammatory, it causes acid reflux that you can't get rid of unless you get rid of the sulfur. It is a fungal proliferant. It highly suppresses the lymph system. And I think when people say antibiotics, I think you have to understand that there's more than just an antibacterial action to an antibiotic. All these antibiotics, if you compare a pharmaceutical antibiotic to an herbal antibiotic, it's hugely different. It's almost like herbs know how to selectively get rid of overgrowth, but not disturb the base. Antibiotics have other chemical factors in them that not only broad-range kill, which is what you never want to kill the bacteria in your lymph nodes, and two, lymphatic suppressant materials. So all antibiotics suppress the lymph system. It isn't the, you know, you can, when you have a raging action of inflammation and you see the bacterial in it, that's really just essential. That's what nature does. And remember, it's about the terrain. It's about the sewage in the body as opposed to the bacteria that eats the sewage. Medical thinking just didn't go far enough. So because you kill the bacteria, if you look at the most unhealthy people, there are several things that you find. One, they don't get any sunshine. They stay indoors a lot. They are not active. They don't physically, and from a baby up. Two, they use pharmaceuticals to treat their symptoms. Whenever you see that, especially a lot of antibiotic use from lymphatic problems, because that's when you use antibiotics, when you see lymphatic problems. That's the sewer system. And so medical doctors got crazy after bacteria. Then you enter natural health and you see that we have, or some naturopaths recommend probiotics as opposed to antibiotics. I told you the story on Ripley's Believe It or Not about the young lad that went to northern Alaska and the Eskimo put him on rotten food and all that proteolithics, the strong protein splitter bacterium, then cleaned his sewer system out. Didn't hurt him, cleaned his sewer system out. And if there ever was gnarly bacteria in terms of proteolithics, you got to see them in meat breakdown. And that's exactly. And so that one case should show the medical profession, don't be afraid of bacteria. If you're going to be afraid of anything, be afraid of acidosis and a lymph system not filtering through your kidneys, because that starts the chain of events that causes all what man calls diseases. And it's really easy to understand acids in the sewer system when you look at it simplistically, you know. So the sulfur thing, and again, whenever you bring in excess chemistry of one kind, it's going to be antagonistic to another. Remember, we talked a lot about isolates and the fact that you can't use isolates in a world where chemistry is synergistically bonded and ratioed, properly ratioed. Man doesn't know how to properly ratio chemistry like God does. We're lost. We have as many opinions as we have minds. Remember that? And a lot of this is theory. So for you chemists out there, you might find out for us what's antagonistic to what sulfur's antagonistic to chemical-wise, but also realize theory when you get up so far into the understanding of chemistry. This is Pat. Hey, Pat. Love to you too, my dear. My niece, now this story, I just picked this up, and this was the first one out of my basket back there, and I started reading this, and I'm going, oh my God. So I was reading it to some of the staff, and you know, this is the sad things, but this can turn out real good for this girl. My niece, who is 23 years old, has got epilepsy. She got her first seizure at the age of 13. At age 20, she was out windsurfing and had a seizure and drowned. I didn't read on for a minute because my jaw just fell to the floor. And then she was rescued in time. Aha! Pat, you scared us. But was in a coma for 5 weeks. She went through rehab, etc., and thank goodness all is intact, except she has lost her confidence and self-esteem. Well, I can see why, though, Pat. And she doesn't know when she could go into something and really affect her life. So let me finish this up, and then we'll talk about this. Her seizures are more frequent now, and this is very debilitating for her. She cannot study for 2 or 3 days after a fit. Yeah, she's lucky she doesn't lose any function, depending on which brain. What can we do to cure her? Thanks, Pat. Love you too, dear. Listen, first of all, get the antispasmodic. That's a great formula. And I don't care if you have to give her a dropper full every 3 hours to regulate this, but it's great for epilepsy, seizures, things like this. The next thing you're going to think about as you're moving this, you're going to move her on a raw food program. No question about it. Remove any neurotoxins, excitotoxins, heavy metals, things like that. We're going to clean that body out. At the same time, we're going to look at the parathyroid gland. We're going to kick up the parathyroid gland. Why? Calcium utilization, low calcium, seizures, depression, things like this. So we're going to go with the calciums. You got to hit the adrenals. Why? All right, the utilization of the minerals. A lot of seizures and things come from magnesium or manganese deficiency. It's not deficiency, it's a lack of metabolism, which is adrenal steroids. There are mineral corticosteroids for magnesium and manganese. So we're going to hit the adrenals. And what else about the adrenals? The autonomic nervous system. So we're going to kick the adrenals up, and it's going to kick up more neurotransmitters. So we're going to go into the kidneys. We're going to go into the lymph system. We're going to go in, because why is she getting worse? Because her lymph system getting worse. Remember, when you see an instigator of symptomology, 9 times out of 10, you're going to use the word acidosis. And when you use the word acidosis, remember, there's only 2 sides of chemistry. So you're going to go with the corrosive side, obviously, in most cases. Now, we can look at alkalosis, but you've got to have a lot of blood work and really look at the pHs of everything to be able to term alkalosis. And quite frankly, most of the issues is acidosis. So you're going to acidosis, of course, robs chemistry, coagulates, dehydrates, and of course can throw a person into neurological spasms, tremors, seizures, convulsions, blah, 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 blah. Now, upper circuit brain and nerves. She has brain lesions or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to get up in here and you're going to hydrate. You're going to clean acid and mucus out of the head. It'll clean it out of the pituitary, the hypothalamus, the whole head area, that anything that could smack of creating a spasm or seizure. So upper circuit brain and nerve for sure. So if you take off down that road, you deworm. You always deworm. You never know. So you want to deworm your clients always. You would deworm this young lady, and at the same time you're deworming her, she's on an antispasmodic, she's on upper circumbrainer nerve, you're moving blood aggressively up in the head, you're also feeding the nervous cell, you're strengthening the myelin sheaths and the neurons. Secondly, you're starting to pull the acids and any a neural toxin that she might have gotten from a vaccine or anything else, or breathed in or put on her skin through makeups or whatever, you're going to be pulling this out of them. So at the same time you're cleaning all the instigators that can happen in that, you're also bringing a balance to chemistry by increasing digestion, absorption, and most importantly, utilization. And of course, you're going to address the parathyroid because you want to make sure that your daughter's utilizing calcium. And Pat, I would go fruits, berries, and melons, maybe a salad at night. But I'd get up higher because these are antacids and anti-inflammatories and anti-seizure. All these kind of foods like that. Fruits and berries are anti-seizures, anti-spasmodics. So let me know how she's doing, Pat, but you can pull her out of that for sure and get her strength, her emotional. She'll probably have a little adrenal kick, but her emotions will get clean and she'll become strong because she's fixing her problems and because they're just going to get worse. Nothing gets better unless you fix them. If you treat them, you've got the option of getting better for a short time and then visiting Hellville big time. And that's the problem. And you see this with medical treatments with pharmaceuticals. Temporary in the subacute and acute stages, not in the chronic. Nothing works in these stages much. But in these lower stages, they were confident that pharmaceuticals was the answer. And then we're all realizing how bad pharmaceuticals are, and that they never cured anything in the first place. It was an illusion cast over the populace, that sort of thing. Hi, Dr. Moore, sending love back to you, Karen. I want to get back with you on my abscess. Okay, I held a poultice of Heal-All tea along with swishing tea for 9 days. I now feel odd without a plug up under my lip. I've started chewing. She's just kidding. After the 9 days of the tea and poultice in my mouth, all waking hours, my gums are still oozing. Holy crap, you got a lot in there. Well, here's the thing. The Heal-All tea is not a strong puller. If you want a strong puller, get your our drawing salve is almost here. I don't know how long it is, but our salves are almost here. Our stomach tea is here, but our salves are almost here. I have a drawing salve that you can put on that. It's powder right now. Hopefully they give me some powder. If not, I'll have that made into a powder. And then you can put that powder on top of here. Got to be careful with too strong of a drawing powder. That's the thing. You want a balanced drawing powder. In the Heal-All tea, I have plantain, which pulls poisons. It's like a tumor puller. You use plantain for snake bites, poisons, things like this. This is, you can run to try to find snake venom, but find plantain and you'll live. Or any lymphatic formula, start chugging it down along with the kidneys. If you get snake bit, spider bit, any of those things, you go into that. Because we get spider bites in here all the time, recluse spider bites and black widow bites. And when they get done from the hospital with a black widow, they're worse. Some lady came and she had a hole in her leg big. She'd been on antibiotics, getting worse and worse. They didn't know what to do. We came in there and in just a week or so, it's all cleared up and nice. I mean, it's just the difference between treating with pharmaceuticals and getting into what nature uses to neutralize and pull and clean. Such a big difference. Man just has to get his head out of his ass and start looking at what God made and get away from this pseudo-intellectualism that leads no one anywhere and get down to truth and honesty and integrity. That's what we need. Now, still hope though I'm going to keep with it. She's still working on it. My diet has not been the best for the 9 days. I'd be fasting for those days. I found that if I lowered my diet a bit, I could take the gliders without the pain in my stomach. Yeah, well, there's definitely something going on, sweetheart, in your stomach, so we need to let that heal up. You might try that stomach tea. It's not expensive. It's a big bag of tea like the Heal-All tea, but it's designed for that sort of thing, to soothe, to coat, to heal, and that's the beauty of these herbs. You can do so many neat things with them, you know. As a practitioner, you've got all kinds of tools for yourself. And you know they're not toxic, and people are they're nutritive. I mean, you can't ask for better. You know, when something is right for everyone, it's good. Or at least most people. My husband appreciates, oh yeah, I bet. Really happy though, I found a way to take them and am slamming them right now. I'm going to get on the fruit and go another, I would. Now you can get, Karen, you can get a stronger puller. The heel law isn't a real strong puller, but then it's your gums and stuff. You know, and you start pulling aggressively, you're not going to like how they feel. You know, and you can kick up the heel law tea and do 1 teaspoon for 2 cups of water. But be prepared, because this is strong astringents. So really strong. You could even put some GI broom up there, probably. I mean, I've never done that, but, you know, anything like that, GI broom has strong astringents, and that's what pulls. But I think if you had just a smidgen of blood, a little poke root, a little chaparral, that's lymphatics 5, lymph node 5. You could saturate a gauze and with lymphatic 4 or 5. Now it's got alcohol, so you might want to kind of burn that off a little bit and then stick that up there with a gauze, saturate it. But keep in mind, it's going to start pulling, and that's going to open, and it could astringe the gums around it too. So caution to the wind, but you can pull it out that way. But if you're loaded that way, that means your whole sinus and everything else is backed up, which is common. Dear Dr. Morris, I have been on a fruitarian mono-meal diet for around 2 months after being totally raw for 5 months and recently started eating salads and a dressing I made, all good, out of avocados and tomatoes. That sounds good. I love avocados and tomatoes on a salad. If I'm going to eat a salad, I'm going to do the raw foods. I mean the tomatoes and avocados. Get some fruit in there on the top of that salad. It's been about a month doing so. It's winter. Oh, yeah. And eating salads with avocado seem to keep me balanced. Now, I was talking to another YouTuber the other day, and she's living up in New York or up in the Rhode Island, and she's been fruit and raw through the winter. And I'm like, my God, here is a trooper right here. This lady's kicking butt. You know, and you know what? And that's what it takes when you're going after this. Right? You tear it up. Whenever I eat them, I develop gas, bloating, uncomfortable in general in my digestive system, and my skin becomes very dry. Well, I don't know the connection of that, but it's enough to say that if you eat salad, and this is one, I mean, if you really stop and you start observing different species, and you work with the understanding of the different GI tracts in the carnivores, the herbivores, the frugivores, and the omnivores. I almost go this way. The carnivores are the lowest, the omnivores are the second, the herbivores are the third, and the frugivores sit at the top of the chain. And you'll see that in intelligence, the ability to make tools, the ability to function here on this planet, from the Homo sapien to the primate. You'll see that intelligence sits at the top of the chain, however you wish to look at that. But and down, as we go down, then you get into your herbivores, very smart, very loving, very great beasts, very intelligent. Omnivores, very intelligent, very aware. Most omnivores, that's like dogs. If you give your dog exclusively protein, look at his poop. Not good. You dogs are omnivores, and most omnivores go more veggies than they do meat. Look at black bears. Hardly eat any meat. There's a special on National Geographic, another special on black bears. Rarely eat meat. Grizzly bear, 85-87% of their diet is between sage grass, which is 65%, and the rest is fruits and berries and things that they get, tubers and things like that. Only 7% is meat, and like we talked about before, the older bear is fat. So when you take a look and you take a look at the diets and what you're feeding your dogs as omnivores, and you start seeing that and realizing that those meat eaters have to have a way to eliminate protein in a very timely, fast manner with minimal absorption, enter the cat family, enter the true carnivores. Then you'll find that there's minimum absorption instead of maximum absorption. There is short instead of long, because meat is putrefactive. And notice, we talked about this before, the lions go for the pre-digested veggies in the gut. And the reason they have to be pre-digested is they don't have the extensive digestive process for vegetables, and yet they need some in their lives. You can't eat exclusively meat without killing yourself. You're short-lived, you're just, it's so toxic that you can't do it. And even God had to figure out a way for the true carnivores to be able to live and have a life and have some type of endurance, which they have very little. So it's just interesting when you take a look at all the different species, their design, and the nature of the foods, the chemicals in the foods, but also the structure of the foods, the high protein content, that sort of thing. And vegetables are considered higher protein or protein kind content. So it's just taking a look at all that. Oh, this is Brianna. Hi, Brianna. I had been on it. Oh, I just read this, didn't I? Oh, let me see. Oh, I was going to say, digestion. Look at your pancreas. You might have to take the pancreatic formula. Look at your eyes and see if you have a lesion or a lacuna in the pancreatic area, because you're talking about carbohydrate digestion here and you're having a time doing it. If you're getting gassy, bloaty doing it, you either have one or two things: pancreatic weakness and you're not digesting your foods properly, so you're getting fermentation, which then will bring in the fungus, you know, to help you ferment your foods. So that brings in more fungus or takes advantage of the ones you have. And then second, you can have a lot of sulfur in the gut. You know, we've showed pictures in this of a lot, and a lot of people have lived on antibiotics, and sadly so. Now, you have some people full of sulfur that got it from their mother. When you're in your mom, you're hooked to her blood and lymph, and a lot of people, a lot of the children get sulfur from the mother. We've watched these and watched these eyes for years. How much fat is too much? Well, that's a good question. And if you're getting gassy, bloaty on the fat, then you go right to the gallbladder, liver. So this might be a good thing for you to do, and it saves you some money. One bottle of liver gallbladder, one bottle of pancreas. One bottle of liver gallbladder, one bottle of pancreas. Remember the barbarous family, the Oregon grape roots, the burdocks, the yellow docks. Those herbs are good for the pancreas. Now, when you research pancreatic herbs, they don't cross so much to the liver gallbladder except the barbarous family. So you see that crossover. So one bottle of liver gallbladder, one bottle of pancreas, because it sounds like you've got one of either one of these or both involved. If that's the case, the chances of you having malabsorption is real high. Why? I mean, why would you have a liver or pancreatic problem? Let's put genetics to the side for a minute, because that's a given. Let's just say that you're developing a problem with digestion where you get bloaty, gassy when you eat. That is incomplete digestion. Either it's putrefaction from protein, inability to break down proteins, lipids, or you're moving to the carbohydrates. The lipids are going to be the gallbladder. The carbohydrates are going to be the pancreas. So either one. If you don't see that so much on your salad or on your fruits, honey, then that's definitely not the pancreas. That's going to swing you right over to the gallbladder. So you want to, you know, do a nice detox for a month or two. Might even get the fast food liquid here to clean the gallbladder out, and then do a flush. And see if you can get your digestion back in a quick manner, because you should be able to do that. Also, I go days drinking only fresh squeezed apple juice. That sounds good, especially red, delicious, organic, ripe off the friggin' tree. That I make myself. And when I do this, I notice I become extremely tired right after drinking it. And if I go several days doing this, I develop rashes on my face. What is happening? Well, that's interesting. Okay, so when she does this, she gets extremely tired. I don't know what to tell you about that unless you're just so fungal laden. And it's possible that you have so much fungus in you that that's the end result of that. Because that would be the only thing, unless you had incomplete digestion. With the adrenals, you have sugar metabolism problems. Apples are fructose, so you don't have to think about beta cells. So, I don't know. The fact that you see the skin problems is apples are very detoxifying. But they're also very digestive. I mean, when you get gassy, bloaty like this, you can eat an apple and it'll soothe all that down. Or drink some apple juice. So I can't tell you any more than that, why that is. When it hits the stomach, of course, there's the neurological system, but it's suggestive, I think, you have a lot of fungus. The fact that you see rashes on your face and stuff shows your lymph system's a mess. I mean, when you're up here, your liver's full, your gallbladder's full, your pancreas is full, you're loaded all the way up here, lymphatically speaking. Because anytime you eat a fruit, it's aggressive. Remember, fruits are much more aggressive foods than vegetables. That's what makes them energetic. That's what makes them ideal for the Homo sapien, because we're not a passive species. You know, we're an energetic, thinking, you know, ongoing species, and yet we're eating dead food. And so we're not eating the foods that quiet the mind, that open the mind, that allow our consciousness to dominate. We're not eating those kind of foods. We're eating the foods that close us off, that acidify us, that dehydrate us, that throw us back to hellville. So humans can't think, humans that overthink, humans, you know, go in directions that are weird. So I detox more, Brianna. Get hit your kidneys and adrenal glands, and might want to stay on Parasite M for a while and see if you can't get rid of some fungus in you, because I have a feeling. But check your adrenals, get your adrenals up, get your kidneys up. Dear Dr. Mois, N.D., before the diet changed, my symptoms were as follows for the past 8 years or so. Wow. Fatigue nearly all the time. Toenail fungus on the right foot only, as well as athlete's foot and psoriasis on back of head. Ooh, ooh, don't like that one, do you guys? Why? What's the back of the head called? I heard you, cerebellum. Absolutely. You guys are good. You guys are good. So psoriasis, what system are we having trouble with? It ain't the blood, is it? This is the lymphatic system, and this is right at the cerebellum. This is where the equilibrium dizzy center, this is where the parasympathetic comes right in. It's where the optic nerves hook in. This is a big deal, you know, so you want that out of there. The fact that you have athlete's foot and fungus on that, it just shows how much fungus you have in you on top of lymph stagnation. You know, and sometimes we can't get all the fungus out until we clean the lymph system. It only makes sense. And since you realize how massive your interstitial fluids are, it's, you know, you understand, it just takes a while to do things like that. But anything on the head, get it out of it. Get your bowels cleaned up. Go after that GI tract, stomach and bowels, GI broom. Get those kidneys and adrenals up. Start your filtrations. You know, start pulling this lymph. Hot and cold showers on the neck, on the head and stuff. Hot and cold compresses if you want. Poor digestive system, mind fog, cold hands, sluggish circulation, worry, fear, anxiety, poor concentration, etc. So, if we stop right there for a minute, allergies to onions and garlic. So let's stop right there. Onions and garlics are pungent anyway. They're sulfur foods anyway, and that is a suggestion that you have high sulfur in your body, especially with fungus on the toenails and all this. I can lay some money on the table that if you do your eyes, you're probably going to see some orange in there. If you don't, you still probably have high candida problems. But the fact that you don't deal with onions and garlic well, remember, these are sulfur foods. And when someone has too much sulfur, it's like, nah. And anyway, as a fruitarian, there's no way you can eat onions and garlic. I've never seen a fruitarian be able to tolerate those pungent foods. I certainly couldn't. Too pungent. But it's enough said here that we have athlete's foot. We have a guy that has, is this a guy? Yeah, this is Dean. Hey, Dean. Peace, Dean. Listen, that is suggested your lymph system's a mess. No offense, but I mean, when you have psoriasis back here, you're loaded lymphatically, so you got to start draining. Doing these neural lymphatic points down your back, I think, is going to really help you, especially when you hit the kidneys and stimulate the kidneys to filter. If you guys are having a hard time filtering, keep working on your neural lymphatics to the kidneys. That's about mid-back, but work them all. Work them all two or three times a day if you want. Get some a friend and get on that back. Cold hands could definitely be thyroid, but also you could have some poor circulation, because when you have psoriasis on the head, the chances of you getting tight necks, stiff necks, tight shoulders, and the like are real high. It's the lymph system, and that suppresses nerve or blood flow down the arms. But if you're having both hands like that, it's probably a little low on the thyroid. But if you have psoriasis here, your thyroid is probably full of mucus. Well, imagine you guys got a lot of mucus out of you and cold and flu-like symptoms. Imagine the thyroid full of mucus. You start developing what? Polyps, you know? And so, you know, they cut them out for that. For the past 7 months, I've been on these changes. Oh, for the past 7 months, I've made these changes to my lifestyle. 70% raw vegan. Spinach, celery, cucumber, coconut oil, avocados, broccoli, cabbage, suede? I don't know what that is. 30% steamed vegetables, cauliflower. Can you tolerate cauliflower and broccoli? That's interesting that you can tolerate onions and you can't tolerate onions and garlic, but you can the cruciferous. Might be not sulfur. You have to see. I have seeds and nuts, sunflower, pumpkin, flax, almonds, walnuts, etc. Have no dairy, sugar, meat, grains other than oat bran and quinoa. Also do enema once a month or so and have probiotics after and rebound. Try to not worry so much. Meditate every day. That's good. I mean, you're kicking it. You know what? You guys are great. Dean, you know what? You keep working on yourself like that. You're a good guy. That's just what you do. You know, you just start working on yourself. You learn all these little tools, and then you just work on yourself, you know? I'm just giving you guideposts and things that I've learned in clinical work for all these years and what I've seen work and not work and why, because I try to, my expertise comes in taking the complex, because I love to study the complex, believe it or not, mind, but then I love to take that complex and cut it as simple as I can so everyone can understand it. And that's always been my way. I've done that for the spiritual worlds, and I've done that with the health. And it is what it is. You know, it's just my opinions and my ideas and what I found in clinical work. I don't know what to say about it other than that. But it works real well, don't it? Because we've had some sensational cases through all the years that even made my jaw drop. I couldn't believe nature had that kind of power to rebuild the human body. Still have toenail fungus in athlete's foot, not as aggressive. Well, that's a lymph. And I'm just talking about this to another lady who was showing me hers. And the thing is, even if you took all the antifungals in the world, you would only see that slowly disappear because you got to move lymph with it. That's the only problem with the toenail funguses and fingernail fungus. You got to move the lymph with it. But it makes sense anyway, doesn't it? Look at the commercial for Lamisil. You know, with the little fat fungi opens up the toenail and jumps in and plays in the sewage with the other little fellas. Mm-hmm. I occasionally feel weak and sluggish, say 40% of the time. Now, of course, you're going to be adrenals. And with everything you're saying, you know you're not filtering from the kidneys. So your kidneys are down. Your adrenals are probably down from all this chronic fatigue and all this stuff being a result of adrenals down. So, yeah, go after that. On really cold days, can't sleep. Keep body temperature up and circulation very bad. Okay, so here's the thing. Again, you might want to look at your eyes to determine if you have a pituitary problem, but you know you have a thyroid problem. You know your thyroid is down, but that makes sense when you have a lot of acid activity in the head area. You can imagine that this is above this, so you know that this is your throat's involved. And of course, thyroid, here's the parathyroid, you have to consider that. If the sinuses are heavily blocked, your pituitary is going to be suppressed, and that could be sitting on everybody else. So you want to take a look, because if your pituitary is down, you take a little glandular for a bottle or so, that'll pop that up. Go after your thyroid, bring all that up. Bring all the function of your cells up. To really bring them up and get a hold is to clean the mucus and acid out of these tissues. And then everybody settles down. Everybody feels good, like a new engine from Detroit, purrs like a kitten, no resistance to the flow of energy, better blood, nerve, or lymph, and everything is good. Low libido, dry skin, and face and hands. Well, the dry skin and face, of course, is severe dehydration. But when you see skin problems, just about count on systemic dehydration. That's acidosis. Systemic acidosis burns your electrolytes. You've sucked your calcium out. It's not alkalosis, medical doctors. It's acidosis. I argued with chemists. One chemist comes in here and arguing. Argue. Skin all broken out. He's a full-fledged chemist. And he works in chemistry. And it's alkalosis. I said, wrong philosophy. I disagree with you, alkalosis. No, alkalosis. Well, I put him on an alkaline diet. So he came in here one day sweating up a banshee. And I'm saying, oh, let's just see how alkalosis it is. So I gave him a pH paper. And I said, you know, test your sweat. Let's see. Extremely acidic. Of course, you know, he still argues. So, low libido, get the thyroid up, get the adrenals up. That's your testosterone. Getting the kidneys cleaning will clean your prostate. Get your adrenals up, you'll start producing more adequate testosterone. If you want to kind of pull blood down in those male parts, do the lower circulation. That always helps a man, is get that blood flowing down in those areas good. Get the kidneys and the adrenals up, because that's your estrogen and your testosterones and your aldosterones. And get those up. Of course, it's also the neurotransmitters, obviously. So it's all those things for libido. Dry skin and face. That's you. I mean, if you're going to use anything, and you ladies in particular on dry skin, make sure you can eat what you're using. Now we have some Amish skin cream here that's all vegetables. Matter of fact, dogs love to lick it off of people. It's so tasty. But on the other hand, you could use coconut oil, grapeseed oil, highly nutritive, maybe hemp oil. But it's enough to say that it's a reflection of right under the skin, the epidermis, and the subcutaneous areas hooked right to the lymph nodes. And, of course, you've got your other interstitial fluids, and everything's tied to the kidneys as well. So this is a big case, obviously, of extreme acidosis, heavy lymphatic system, probably malabsorbed on top of this, so there's lack of energy from proper absorption and utilization of nutrients, then the down with the adrenal steroids. All these things play a role. Heavy fungus sucking down the sugars and dealing with the body in that way, absolutely. Mood swings and emotional at times. Adrenals and fungus. Tried the grapes fast and adding some fruit like apples and kiwi. It made my candida and fungal infection flare up massively. That's because it's so aggressive. I tell you what I'd do, man. I would take Parasite M. I'd take about 2 dropperfuls every 4 hours. And I'd go massively after this. You know, really go after this. You're going to have to use an antifungal for a while and help that when you do the fruit, because that fruit's going to kick everybody up. And then as fruit starts digging deeper into your body, it's going to kick up more fungal involvements because you're layered in the body. So it's just going to keep cleaning, keep moving. Everything will be good. You'll go past the point of wellness. You know, you'll pull that fungus out of the body, out of the nails and everything else. But you're full of it, full of the fungus, man. Can't go back to old ways, but new ways still not great. I know. And it's just going to take, it's just going to take you a little while to get back. Guys, it's time intensive. That's all I've got to say. Outside of that, everything is proper. Everything is truth. Everything fits with chemistry and physics and nature. The glove fits. It's time. But we're so spoiled. We want it. We want it now. And that's the problem, is that medical promised us. But it's enough to say that it's going to take you a while to clean out a body that's this big, you know, of all the lymph and the mucus and the pus and the proteins and the fungus and who knows what else. So hang in there, man. Hang in there. You'll get it. You're doing great. You're going down that road. Even if it's, you know, go baby steps. Who cares? You're going down the right road. Just know that and know that you can get that. Other than that, you know what it's like trying other things. Did an enema again yesterday for the first time in a month, and my athlete's foot has eased right up. Well, again, that's a good case for cleaning the bowels, ain't it? That's a good case. So, again, GI broom, very excellent. Stomach and bowel, everything to clean that. And that's, by the way, why I use a lymphatic capsule. Not only can it absorb the lymphatics into the body, but those herbs will clean the wall of the gut, too. So it's a win-win-win there. So you got several things cleaning and healing and working on the GI tract. At the same time, the absorption of some of this and the tinctures are going into the body and working in the body like that. Good stuff. A bit concerned about doing too many enemas. I would be too, innervating. I would try to use the herbs and everything that way and let them get down through there and clean you out that way. I'd prefer that myself. Didn't tend to have a bowel movement up to 4 days after, and that's the problem with also colonics. Worse with coffee enemas, and about the same thing with coffee enemas and chronic laxative use. You stop, nothing works. And for you guys using coffee enemas, stop. You know, this is the one negative thing I totally disagreed with Gerson. You do not use coffee enemas. Hyperstimulating the liver and things, that doesn't move lymph. That doesn't cure anything. You know, that's ridiculous. It overstimulates. And whenever you use a stimulant, it's like a teeter-totter, right? Like this. Stimulation, innervation. Stimulation, innervation. So whenever you stimulate something, it's like running real hard. You run real hard, then you got to rest. Except those all on fruit. But anyway, you get that where you pound the pavement, then you got to rest a bit. Same thing. And so constipation always follows. And that's the problem. You don't want constipation. You don't want to stimulate the bowel. You want to invigorate it. You want the cells to invigorate and to be on spot. and dynamic in energy. I've always said health is dynamic, energetic cells with two fluids that feed and clean them on a regular basis, baby. Do you think I should keep doing enemas? Nope, I don't. What do you recommend to put in the water? I used wheatgrass yesterday. Yeah, I'm not so much of a wheatgrass fan. You could implant the stomach and bowel formula. You could implant anything. You have to realize, though, the colon has the least absorption between the small and the large bowel. The small bowel dominates in absorption. The first part of the GI tract is for traces and microtraces, but by the time you get around and you're heading down the descending toward the sigmoid, you're losing anything absorption but water, really, and it goes to the kidneys and things. You ever notice you have to pee after you poop sometimes? So it's that sort of thing. If you're malabsorbed and can't absorb the water back, then you stay loose and laxative-like, because malabsorbed, you're not absorbing the water out of the stool to firm it up. So playing with that, I think, is ridiculous. Not necessary. And you can clean those intestines with the GI broom and with the Heal All tea. You can do that with that. You can do it with the stomach and bowel. So least absorption's down below like that. So the only time I would implant nutritives is when I have a very sick person and there's no by mouth, there's no feeding tube, I'm going rectal. I don't know. If you're going to implant, though, I would go ahead, since you're close to the kidneys, this is going to make the kidneys, I would implant parsley, dandelion greens if I was going to implant anything. You know, something like that, as opposed to wheatgrass juice. Look at the difference between alfalfa, the power of an alfalfa plant, and the ridiculousness of wheat. A big difference. So you could implant alfalfa juice, but be prepared. Many thanks. Oh, thanks, Dean. P.S. I watch all your other videos, but I can't get my head around some of the advice you give. Like, how do I boost my adrenals through diet and lifestyle? Well, good question. And this brings up a good question. I think it's worthy of some conversation. You have to stop and realize what brings tissue down. All right, so let's set genetics to the side, because we can go all the way back to whoever in your family tree started weakening their adrenals or kidneys or whatever, and we can start there with their lifestyle. The word lifestyle is a huge deal, because your lifestyle is your interaction with life, right? And here the interaction is highly chemical. This is the most chemical, maybe we talked about this before, most highly chemical dimension of the God worlds that I know of. There could be lower worlds. Some people have talked about that. I personally have never experienced a lower world. Now, there's people that experience center earth and things like that. Don't know what to say about that. All I can say is that my experiences have been more out etheric and in other dimensions. But it's enough to say a very chemical world that we have here. And so when you start looking at what breaks down cells or what suppresses the function of cells, one word comes right off to my mind: mucus. Now, mucus comes from dairy products or proteins that are abrasive or corrosive to the mucosa. And someone was asking me this the other day, and I brought this up to you guys too. Too hot of peppers. You know, Richard Schultz, hot, hot, hot. That was in the 60s, Richard. No way. Overstimulation of the mucosa. And Richard, you probably never touched being a fruitarian, because no way can you handle that high level of pepper as a fruitarian. Your mucosa gets so sensitive, as it's supposed to be. You know, you start getting insensitive when you burn too much. And then your mucosa gets insensitive, and everything gets insensitive. So then you lose your warning of your foods you're bringing in. So you really want to hit those foods that are gentle, soothing, nutritive, and energetic. They clean and everything else. But when we eat the proteins, and I'm going to tell you, get any book by Carrington. I got a ton of nice books in here of the early 1900s that spells this out with the protein or proteid. And understanding that protein is our problem, not our elixir. It's our problem. And now if you look back and look at societies that were high proteins, their lifespans were in the 40s. Now you can use chemicals to prop them up and keep them alive a lot longer. But in reality, and we got trucking, so we got some fresh foods. But I can tell you, Alaskans didn't live long. Middle Easterns didn't live long, especially in Jesus' time. These people did not live long. So you had those people like Jesus and the Essenes and the Agnostics and those people around the world that were raw foodists. There's been raw foodists chipping at this probably since Egyptian times. I'm telling you, you can find traces of the mentioning of unfired food and raw foods. And so it's amazing that it's taking so long for this to mention. And perhaps it's not meant, I don't know. Maybe this is just meant for people that are ready to take a higher journey. I don't know. But it's enough to say that, realize that the sewage is something nobody likes. And cells produce sewage like you do. The human produces sewage in the stool from eating foods, right? And bringing in, drinking, putting things on the skin. But your kidneys and your skin eliminate cellular sewage. And how many cells comprise the human body? 100 trillion is what they guesstimate. It was 86 trillion or 76 trillion when I went to school. You know, time changes. So let's round it off to 100 trillion cells, and each one of them are little poopers. Even bone cells. Cells are living beings. You have to, even in dense tissue, you have to be able to get blood and lymph to these cells. And if you can't get lymph, it's got to at least be blood, but then that blood has to clean because the blood is going to pick up sewage. And I think you'll find all these lymph vessels and capillaries and blood vessels and capillaries all together everywhere. So when you see that the body becomes full of mucus from these proteins, when the body gets acidic, and what people don't understand is that proteins destroy the GI tract and the kidneys. You can't argue that point because there's been study after study after study linking high protein diets to colon cancer, and Fox News was just talking about a 30-year study last year linking that. And that's just Fox News. That's a media outlet that's simply reflecting a study. And there's been several through the years, but same protein. Remember I told you the lady that came in here that was peeing out parts of her bladder? She was on the Atkins diet for 5 years, and it destroyed her bladder. We rebuilt it, but still, it was breaking down her wall of her bladder, breaking down the inner mucosa. And that's the problem. So when you see a condition where the adrenals aren't functioning, the kidneys aren't filtering, the liver's inflamed, the pancreas is inflamed, you got psoriasis on the head, that simply means that all these weaknesses that have developed from man's lifestyle and food consumption through the generations, and now since we're chemical freaks, we have accelerated this. Since the Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all these high acid drinks, all this chemistry floating around from all this, all the chemtrails, the antibiotics and all this, we have accelerated this pace. Since my grandfather's time, we have put our foot on the accelerator heading toward Hellville. And everything's catching up because of these weaknesses developed by the elders. Now the advent of the 1900s, where all the chemistry was opened up, now we're falling like flies. And the genetics, as you know, are so bad, that's not even funny. So when you ask what's causing the problem, that's it. Now you got to go back and fix that. How do you do that? Number one rule: change your diet. Go from cooked, destroyed, highly acidic proteins and mucus-forming dairies and grains that it's not good for you, to living unfired foods, the fruits, the berries, the melons, and you can have some salads, green drinks if you want. And that's where the power is. And when you start doing that, these foods that have the astringents, which are your fruits and your berries primarily, they start cleaning you. And you got herbs to rebuild the kidneys, the adrenals, and we use the glandulars, but we got all these tools to help us. And by God, when you watch this process, you watch the body coming back. There's no adapting to it. Your body has fallen from this. So you're in the regeneration program. First up, you start changing your diet to match your physiology. Well, if you want to know what that means, get the book and study our chapter on comparative anatomy and physiology. Carrington did a whole book on it. A lot of people have done books on the comparative anatomy and physiology of the animals. And when you start doing it, it all just falls in place like putting a good jigsaw puzzle together. Oh, I did it. It's that simple. And we make things so complex we don't have to. You have to go back and fix all these weaknesses and all this sewage and acids in the body. And how do you do that? Well, nature uses detoxification, and I'm on nature's side. I don't know of any other system out there that does this. And I didn't create detoxification. But we learned how to use it properly, I think. But, you know, this is an old thing. People have detoxed themselves since the Roman times, probably in the way back. I mean, fasting has always been a sense of spirituality and a sense of health. Through diet and lifestyle, is rebounding enough for my lymph movement? Hydration and kidney filtration. Kidney filtration is also an adrenal gland issue, and hydration is bringing in living, unfired base chemistry, alkaline chemistry. How can I eliminate better and quicker without enemas? Use the stomach and bowel formulas. If you need number two or number three, use them. That'll really start moving, and yet it'll start cleaning and healing. And Cascara Sagrada, no matter what you heard about, I've used it for 40 years. Love it. It's not a laxative. It's just perfect. A little nudge to the pancreas, a little nudge to the liver, a nice little gentle nudge to the bowel. And so see which formula that you need and let that start cleaning and inspiring and healing. And then you'll do well there, Dean. Peace to you, my friend. I might have to go. I don't know. My appointment might be a little. We'll see where I'm at. Gosh, every time I sit down to do these, I'm trying to stick these videos, guys, in between my appointments and tween everything I can to get them to you. Dr. Robert Moose. First, I wanted to say about a wonderful asset you are to this. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Well, you know what? You're all assets. You're all beautiful souls. And we all work together. We get our health back. We start getting our love going. And it's great to walk around and hug someone as opposed to talking bad about them. You know, I just think we all need to start being, you know, like spiritual giants walking amongst all life, you know, and enjoying each thing, you know, and interacting and giving joy and love to all things. It's just a better way of living. And you're always happy and full of joy and love because you're totally satisfied. You're totally in the sukkah, into the nirvanic experience of all life. And it's a whole different level of having a good life. And there's nothing like it because you're more whole than you've ever been. You're stronger than you've ever been. You have a knowingness that you've never had before, a knowingness that no one can take from you. And that gives you a strength about life. And that's what you guys are developing now. Going through these detox programs, you're developing a strength, a knowingness. And those always makes the best healers. I look at these naturopaths that just went to school. They don't know the first thing about getting well. I had a guy come from Bastyr one time, and he wanted to sit so bad. Okay. Because I let all you guys sit with me that are practitioners. And so I let him sit for a couple of weeks. So I have case after case come in, and I ask him, what would you do for that case? Well, I'd give him B vitamins. I would give him some acetylcholine or some da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. You know what I'm going, my God, man, that's all you learned in school? I said, you'll never get them well. That was the 60s we did that. You know, so that's where the schooling is. Let me see here. Is an amazing thing. To live, love, and share with the world God's eating habits and health. Second, even though I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's and I was struggling with health issues, I'm involving my kids in the journey of health. More smart. Oh, this is Melissa. That sounded like a woman anyway. You know, that's a woman for you. Yeah, I'm taking care of my family and kids. Yeah, that's a good woman right there. Hashimoto's, low thyroid, you know. Again, detoxifying the mucus out of the head and sinuses. Clean up the bowel so all this can drain. Get your kidneys filtering and the like. If you need a glandular, use a thyroid 150. Pop that up if you're on Synthroid or Levothyroxine. Even if you're on Natural Armor. Gotta watch that because you're increasing the function of the whole thyroid gland, and of course the goal is not to take synthetic or any hormones whatsoever. Nobody except stupid medical doctors would want anybody to live their life on hormones and steroids. Is there anybody out there who would think that's a good idea? I don't think so. I think most of you want to fix your problems instead of being stuck on a chemical for the rest of your life, which does half-asses there, and you're never happy because it's up and down and changing, da-da-da-da-da, and you're weakening your thyroid all the long or whatever. And we've got some of you guys that are coming in that's been on steroids for years. Not fun. And medical doctors should have to experience this for themselves, and then they would never give you that. Because you've got people that they've totally wrecked the adrenals, and now they're having a hard time getting the adrenals to start up again. And I tell you, it's tough. You healers out there, we're having a tough time with some of these people that have been on pharmaceuticals and have been on these steroids. And I don't care if they're made especially for you, you know, the compounded ones, big friggin' deal. And what are you using to compound them? What kind of stats? And most blood and saliva stats are wrong when it comes to a steroid. So what are you using to compound? You see what I'm saying? And then if you use these compounded forms, it's just still synthetic hormones and steroids. Still. And then you're fighting all of that. This isn't about that. That's all ridiculous stuff. You want to make healthy the adrenals. You want to make healthy the ovaries. You want to make healthy the pituitary. You want to make healthy the thyroid and parathyroid. Well, it goes back to what this gentleman asked. What makes things unhealthy and how do you make them healthy? That's just what these videos are all about. My four-year-old, oh, look at that. David is autistic, and I'm sure it's because I had low thyroid during pregnancy. No. This isn't about thyroid. This is a neurological thing. The only thing that thyroid affects neurologically is increasing the pace of the heart. I'll say this. This is adrenals, autonomic nervous system. That's autistic. That's the autonomic. It reaches into the parasympathetic and helps. So I go after both nervous systems in autistic children. I go upper circuit brain and nerve. Always. You can go antispasmodic to kind of settle them down. At the same time, I'm going into the adrenals, baby. I'm going into the adrenals. I'm going into the kidneys because at 4 years old, what does this kid have weak in him? I don't care who you are. Kidneys and adrenals, always. And even if you were wrong and it wasn't that weak, you still couldn't hurt him. And that's the thing is, there are very, very few four-year-olds right out there that can say, I don't have weak kidneys and adrenals. And you can probably count them on one hand. That's why I say you can't be, you got to go full bore there. Check their urine. You know, check everything out there. You can pick up your thyroid. That's not difficult at all. I have four kids. Now, you want to check your parathyroid having four kids because these children love your calcium and mamas need calcium like everybody else. For, the postpartum depression, it's a big thing to understand that all this depression in the world and all this postpartum can easily be fixed by enhancing your parathyroid gland, getting better calcium utilization, and yet you have all these suffering ladies, you have all these suffering people, antidepressants, which sometimes can send you off. We talked about this in the last video, how a lot of these shooters that killed all the kids and everything were antidepressants, and no drug company is taking responsibility. No Department of Justice is going after drug companies for using chemicals that drive kids nuts. Nobody's taking responsibility. Oh, no. It's guns that's causing it. Ugh. I mean, we have a government that does not want any truth out there. And I don't know why that would be. Governments that are truthful with their people, like King Arthur and all this, you have a good country. Okay, four kids. It is important we all be healthy. She's right, very right, in this extremely unhealthy planet. This is a good mother here. Had partial hysterectomy in 06 and didn't eat salt for 3 years. Deadly combination. I am or thought I was a healthy bug. Eating organically, drinking reverse osmosis, but I really don't exercise except running errands and cleaning, and I have been having panic attacks. Again, we're going back to the adrenal, sweetheart. You're having panic attacks. Think of your children. They all have your adrenals, but weaker. See, so this is, and you can tell from the mother that she has weak kidneys and adrenals. Here's panic attacks. This is the adrenal glands, the autonomic nervous system. So there, this is obvious, sweetheart. You got to fix your adrenals and kidneys on everybody at home and work on your lymph systems because this directly touches your lymphatic systems here. You can kick your thyroid up with a little glandular, and then you'll be done with that, or use an endocrine gland, or use the thyroid herbal formula. But clean the mucus and congestion out of the head and thyroid, because until you do that, you can't assume anything, because the thyroid gets full of mucus like your sinuses do. Hey, kiddo.
Yeah.
How are we looking?
I think he's trying to call in, so...
Okay, so I'll finish it up with this one, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right, honey, thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I gotta go. Let me see. Exercise. I've said this many, many times, and I keep having cases that reiterate this in my face, and I'm sure it's in yours. Think about this logically. If you're not filtering, and you're out there exercising and moving your joints, and you're not filtering, you're going to start feeling your hips, your knees, your shoulders, all your joints, because you're creating excessive acidosis in these tissues, and that's okay. The body then, in a system of rest, activity, then rest. Every animal does it. Activity and then rest. Activity creates acidosis, rest then cleans, and everybody's good. That's not happening because the adrenals that shift neurotransmitters are down. And so everything is down. And so we have to rest more. Get your kidneys filtering. And I'll say this. Once your kidneys are filtering, then you can pound the pavement. I don't care. But until then, caution to the wind, because joints are nice to have. Yep, they're in. Okay. Over my vision being so blurry. Well, that's a lot of mucus. Use the eye wash. Start washing your eyes out. You're going to get a lot of mucus out of there, and it's going to run or be in the morning get full of mucus. So use that eye wash to clean the mucus out of your eyes. Twice a day. You know, when you get a little eye cup, we sell them here, little cheap things. Put about, you want to start maybe 6-7 drops, but work up to about 12 drops. Some people do this, but put in a little eye cup, wash your eyes out morning and night, really clean everything out. Internally, you want to get moving, because this will form a cataract and everything else. You want to get moving with your lymph systems. Drain your head, get your sinuses clean. And stress is a genetic disposition. Well, that's your adrenals, honey. All cells are genetic. Whether they're strong genetics or weak genetics, the eyes will tell you. I developed from my mother. She had Hashimoto's as well and passed away at age 63 from congestive heart failure. Okay, now listen. Now you're telling me your genetic line right here, big time kidney and adrenals. Your congestive heart failure is not from thyroid. Congestive heart failure is from kidney and adrenals. Big time. When you see congestive heart failure, you see kidney failure simultaneously. So this is real. This is your mom, 63. Hell, that's my age, 64. But still, I mean, my God, congestive heart failure, that's big-time kidney and adrenals. That's why you're having the anxieties, and I say take off after your children's kidney and adrenals. You can't hurt them. Thyroid disease on her death certificate was a... give me a friggin' break. That wasn't caused congestive heart failure. Oh, my God. Oh, look at that. On her death certificate, she was amazing being, I miss her dearly, I bet you do, and it's a sad friggin' thing. This is why, honey, I do these things. I do these things because my heart pours out on all you guys. I'm just sad. And know that we're all souls, and, you know, we come and go from this planet, but, you know, some souls don't have to go so early. But, that you know, it's all planned anyway, I guess. But it's enough to say this is why we all need to do this. There's just too many moms dying young. And when it's a 35-year-old with 5 kids, that's even more stabbing to the heart. Had a lot of those. She went to Bob Jones University in Tennessee. Anyway, my point is to save myself. Exactly, honey. I know what that is. Parathyroid, calcium, good... I take calcium, but no matter. Don't take calcium, guys. Don't take calcium. Take kelp or the God's Blend. It's super high in calcium. Take a plant calcium. Don't take calcium of isolates, all right? And don't stop my autoimmune from attacking. There is no such thing as autoimmune. No such thing. That's one of the greatest medical stupidities of all times. Oh, it's an autoimmune problem. Good catch-all drawer. It's a good drawer for people that don't know what's up. Yeah, my little baby Coco. See what he looked like when he was a little baby? Isn't that cute? Little baby Coco. And I love my little painting that someone painted about Coco. Anyway, I love you guys. Thanks so much. I'm sorry these are in bits and pieces and I have to run and all these things, but it's the best I can do at this time. But we're going to get better. So I love you guys. Take care of yourselves. I hope this helps you guys. And onward and upward. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what you're hearing, be sure to visit his website, Dr. Morse's herbalhealthclub.com, for more information. And if you have a question for Dr. Morse to respond on an upcoming Q&A on YouTube, please send email to questions@dmhhc.com. On the next episode from Q&A 144 on YouTube, Dr. Morse will cover hyperthyroidism, connective tissue, and chronic lymph. So until then, stay happy and come back soon.